Edison should have been happy, for he and the R&D teams he led played important roles in almost all these technical inventions. Although he complained a bit when he got older, he loved gadgets and accepted most of these social changes, but he was still not satisfied. He continued to puzzle over the underlying science in a way that few of his fellow engineers did. He was supposed to be the greatest electrician of his age, yet he didn't even know what was happening inside an electric wire. Most of the time, when journalists asked him to explain how these great inventions really worked, Edison would just laugh them off. He'd say that those matters were for the fancy professors to work out, that he would be long dead before that happened. Once, though, Edison did come across a hint. In 1883, he noticed that a black spot occasionally appeared on the inside of one or another bulb he was testing. This was odd, because the glass was always spotless when it was sealed around the filament. The dot couldn't have been a scratch, the filament never touched the glass, nor could it have been dust or soot, there was scarcely any air inside the bulb to carry dust. Edison was puzzled by the dots. Was something flying out from the filament to create a dot? He wanted to explore further, but his assistants backed off. If it was a practical invention, they'd have worked any hours to help the old man. It was the mistake of a lifetime. In the next dozen years, a few other researchers started looking at this and similar findings. The most persistent was a man just a few years younger than Edison, Joseph John Thomson, working in England in the 1880s and 1890s at the same Cambridge College where Newton had worked. Thomson was not the most likely of experimental champions, for even his friends, who called him JJ, winced at his difficulties in actually building the devices for experiments he could so easily plan. He is easy to recognize in an official photograph of the Cavendish Laboratory from that time. He smiles weakly from behind thick glasses, the only one with his tie askew. But he managed to build enlarged versions of Edison's light bulbs and used magnets to invisibly reach inside and steer whatever was flying up from the filaments. Then he weighed the flying particles. That's how he discovered the electron. Atoms were not solid little balls. Rather, parts of them could be torn off. The torn-off bits could bounce and skid forward like smaller balls within any open channel that lay ahead of them. It's those torn-off bits, electrons, that, as we saw, roll forward inside a wire, creating an electric current. That's it. The quietly bumbling JJ had managed to explain what Newton and so many others had only guessed at. It seemed so easy. The world is made of powerful electric charges, which are normally hidden, but which we can scrape loose. What pours out of the metals in batteries, it seemed to JJ and his colleagues, were just miniature flotillas of those electrons released after untold eons of being locked inside. When those escaping electrons bumped and crashed inside the filament of a light bulb, their collisions made the filament hot enough to glow. Even the black dot that Edison had seen was simply created by electrons that had erupted from the filaments in his light bulbs, their accumulated impact etching into the glass. The century-long quest to see what was happening inside an electric wire seemed over. J.J. Thomson, rather than Edison, got the Nobel Prize and was heralded as the man who explained how Victorian electricity really worked. But there was one giant flaw. Was it really true that electrical apparatuses merely worked by electrons rolling along inside? If that was so, then when someone in New York spoke on the phone to someone in Boston, they'd be pushing electrons from the telephone in New York through a metal cable until the electrons popped out of the receiving phone in Boston. But that didn't make sense. If the New Yorker talked for a long time without letting the other person interrupt, would huge black dots begin to accumulate in Boston as a great mass of electrons started piling up? That never happened. Somehow the explanation was incomplete. There had to be something else in the universe, some invisible force that controlled the way electrons moved, a force that could perform the seeming miracle of making these electrons travel without piling up at the far end. But what could it be? Edison was convinced this invisible force existed, and he had even once tried to contact it. In absolute privacy, he'd built a small pendulum, attached a wire from the pendulum to his forehead, and then tried using the sheer power of thought to move the pendulum. Nothing happened, and, half embarrassed, half puzzled, he'd put the experiment away, accepting that he was not going to be the one to reveal any such unseen power. In fact, there was a whole group of investigators trying to identify and understand these further powers of electricity. They'd been at it for many years, but their work was so theoretical that it had been ignored by most of the practical inventors of the 1800s. These investigators believed that all of humanity was surrounded by a powerful network of mysterious force fields. Edison vaguely knew of the researchers who held these beliefs, and he also knew that something important to them had taken place in a strange engineering project deep under the Atlantic Ocean in the 1850s, when Edison was still a child. He also knew that even before that engineering project, there had been a great English scientist, Michael Faraday, who'd predicted the existence of these invisible force fields. As a young man, Edison had tried reading several of Faraday's works, but now that he was so busy with light bulbs and generators and electric motors, now that he had a vast workforce to supervise and a great personal fortune to invest, it was much harder to find the time for such difficult reading. He could only occasionally try to imagine what powerful new machines that invisible force might produce if it were ever mastered. Edison and Bell and other practical Victorian inventors had thought they'd reached the deepest core of things when they let out the ancient power of electrons, but they'd only scratched the surface. Underneath, there was something more.